his activities, and thereby always remembering his beautiful eternal form. By rendering service, becoming his friend, or his servant, or offering him everything that one possesses, one is able to enter into the kingdom of God. As it is said in Bhagavad Gita, Tata mam tatvatu gyatva. After discharging pure devotional service, one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead in fact, and thus one becomes eligible to enter into his association in one of the spiritual planets. Om Jnanati Marandasya Gyanandana Salakya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Panchatattvamakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktagyam Namama Bhakti Shaktikam Vanchakalpatarubhyacha Sakripasanubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaisnavibhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So Devahuti was the daughter of Swayambhuva Manu, who was a great emperor. And therefore, Devahuti grew up as a princess in great opulence, in a palace, with so much facility. And at the same time, Devahuti was a very pious princess. She certainly had her material desires, but there was no question of just acting upon these material desires without considering the principles of duty, of prescribed dharma. So in this way, she was very dedicated to prescribed duty. Sense gratification means that we are trying to experience happiness to the dasendriya, the ten senses. The ten senses are the eyes, the ears, the nose, the tongue, the skin, the arms, the legs, speech, and the anus and the genitals. And as long as we are trying to derive some pleasure from any of the ten senses, then we are on the bodily platform and we are in illusion, because actually it is not possible to really achieve happiness to such kind of endeavors to try and enjoy the senses. Happiness can only be experienced in relationship to the Supreme Lord. So therefore, transcendentalists are giving up the attempt to enjoy the material energy through their senses. And Devahuti was a princess of high caliber, but had desires for happiness in this world. So she somehow or other married Kardama Muni, who was a great sage. And Kardama Muni, as a great sage, was very powerful, but he performed great austerities, and his wife followed him in these austerities, and it is said that Devahuti became all dried up physically because of all the austerity. Her beauty became covered. Anyway, at one point, she desired to have a child. So she approached her husband, who then, by mystic power, made all the arrangements. And he arranged that she was taken by celestial damsels into a lake, and she was bathing in that lake, and all her beauty returned, and then she was dressed up like in wonderful clothing. Then Kardama Muni created, by mystic power, a huge palace, but not an ordinary palace, a palace that could travel at the same time. In other words, a spaceship, but not made of metal or and laser beams, but rather of beautiful gardens and beautiful palaces and very nice. So in this way, Devahuti was traveling with her husband throughout space, and in the process, they were enjoying, and 9 daughters were the result of that. Right. So then, when 9 daughters had taken birth, then Kardama Muni was ready to leave home and said, now I'm ready to renounce. But she was saying, wait a minute, you have not given me transcendental knowledge and I don't have a son. Is that not burning the curtain in any way, or soiling it, or spoiling it? So Devahuti then desired a son. So the son that she attained was not an ordinary son. She desired transcendental knowledge and transcendental instruction. And by her purity and by the purity of her husband, she received a son who was an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So then when her son grew up, her son instructed her in transcendental knowledge. And the result was that Devahuti became a transcendental personality. At that time, she was no longer an ordinary woman who was falling prey to the pushings of the senses and the body, but rather she was on the spiritual platform. Being on the spiritual platform, Kuranga doesn't need a chair. Wow. Perfect. So being on the spiritual platform means that one is fully absorbed in satisfying the senses of the Lord. The big difference between the material platform and the spiritual platform is that on the material platform, we are trying to satisfy our own senses. And we think that that's what life is all about. And it is very difficult to understand that satisfying the senses of the Lord will fully satisfy for one who hasn't got the direct experience of it. But this is the fact, that when we are dedicating all our energy to satisfying the senses of the Supreme Lord, then we become free from any desire to enjoy the body. So Devahuti, by the association of her son, had come to that point. It is said that then her son also left home. But she was always meditating on her son, on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in this way, she didn't have any attraction for anything in this world. Because she could see that this is just the lower energy of the Supreme Lord. And the lower energy of the Supreme Lord may have wonderful beauty, it may have wonderful flavor, wonderful fragrance, it may have pleasing touch, and so on, which are all responding to our senses, but it is all temporary. And it is never enough to fulfill our desire. So these are the two main problems in trying to enjoy the material energy. That whatever is there is temporary, and that second, that the material energy can offer us enjoyment, but it is never enough to fulfill our desires fully. Right? And therefore, there always will remain something unfulfilled. And that is then material life, to be unfulfilled. And this feeling of unfulfillment will gradually build up more and more. We've tried everything and still not fulfilled, right? Then it becomes a life of deep frustration. Then people take different routes, jump off the bridge, or take intoxication, or try other means to forget the frustration of material life. There is one class of man who is trying to overcome the frustration of material life through philosophy. They are simply saying, yes, the material world is temporary, and there is therefore no point in trying to enjoy it. come. And they say that all, that because it is all temporary, all the varieties of forms are simply illusion, and therefore not worthy to interact with. Right. The devotees do not agree. The devotees are not ready to write off this world and say it's all illusion, it's all false. That's not a devotee's position. The devotee will say it is very real, this world. It is temporary nonetheless, so it's difficult to deal with it because things change while you're working with them. That is a complication. But anyway, somehow or other, if we engage this material energy in the service of the Lord, then everything becomes perfect. And then one can live. Otherwise, the impersonalist yogi, he cannot live in this world. He must live in a cave in the mountains. He must live somewhere deep in a forest. He must turn away from the world, or he must go deep into his mind and forget the world. But devotee means, no, this world, yes, it can never satisfy. So it is illusion trying to enjoy the material energy. But if we use the material energy in the service of Krishna, then everything becomes perfect. And this is the path that Devahuti showed, the path of being in the world and yet being in perfect consciousness. Here in the material world, everyone is trying to be happy, and everyone is trying to be happy in his own way, but real happiness must be happiness for all. That is real happiness. Real happiness, therefore, means that it must be serving the Supreme Lord, because the Supreme Lord is Suridam Sarvadeinam, the well-wisher of all living beings. So when we are serving the well-wisher of all living beings, then our activities are also becoming part of well-wishing all living beings. And this is the only way that there is real happiness in life. Otherwise, happiness does not exist, unfortunately. There may be an illusion of happiness that exists for a little while, and we hope it's going to last, but it never does. Right? That is material life. And there are many people who say, well, but it comes very close. It comes very close, and therefore it's very difficult to give it up. But this is only due to not knowing the real flavor, the real taste that is experienced in pure devotional service to Krishna. The happiness of the material world does not come close at all. It is very far removed from spiritual happiness. Of course, happiness is something that we need to develop. We have to overcome our material conditioning, and therefore we have to have patience. Utsaha nishtya daryat. These three qualities are necessary in spiritual life. Enthusiasm to become, to go through a transformation. Enthusiasm to become a different person, and the patience to wait for it to happen, and determination to follow a process of purification. So this is Srimad Bhagavatam is pointing this out again and again. Sreyam acharanam sada, that we must, this is not Srimad Bhagavatam, that is Padma Purana, but that we must strive for the long-term goal, the long-term benefit in life. So does that mean that Krishna consciousness is another process of denial of enjoyment in this world, and that we have to wait for the long-term, at the very end, for the reward to come? Is that what we are looking at? When will the reward come? Will it even come in this life, or will it come in the hereafter? Right. That's generally what the traditional religions of the world and philosophies of the world were offering. It was found in all the ancient knowledge. And then modern philosophers just rebelled. And he said, forget it. We want to live now. We are not going to wait till it comes sometime after, right? After this life, or when you're old and decrepit, and then you can become self-realized. No, we want to live now. So Krishna consciousness is actually the science of living now. But at the same time, we are now in a contaminated state of consciousness and therefore cannot be happy. That we've already tried and already found out. So it may take some time before we're fully happy, but by following the process of devotional service, we can become increasingly happy, step by step. Right? So becoming happy means becoming normal. As long as one is mentally twisted, how can one expect to be happy? How can someone who is ripe for a mental hospital ever be happy? Right? It is not possible. And the whole world is a mental hospital. That is the one thing we have not understood yet. It may have been thought that this world is a playground, but it's not. It's a mental hospital, actually. The whole world, everywhere. Just different wards, closed ones, open ones. But it's a big mental hospital. Right? That's the arrangement. Nunan pramate kurute, yet indriya pritiya apninote, that the whole world is raving mad, right? That's actually Srimad Bhagavatam. The conclusion of Srimad Bhagavatam, that everyone is insane in the material world. And the material world is an arrangement to cure the conditioned souls from insanity. So that's what we're here for, actually. If we really look at it. We are here. So what is insanity? Insanity, we see some madmen, there are plenty around, and they are having all kinds of concerns which are totally not relevant. Like 007, who comes here sometimes, although he hasn't been for a while, but who says to you, can I buy, he's British, you know, he says, can I buy a Bhagavad Gita? Come outside. The place is bugged. I've got to tell you something. Right, it's very important. It's of crucial importance. What is the price? Oh, can I have a look at that other book also? Get ready. Come outside for the message. No, thank you. We're not going outside. No way. No, thanks, 007. Or all the other crazies, the lunatics that come. Mr. Moon hasn't been for a long time, right? But like that, he's the incarnation of the moon, right? But he's made spiritual advancement because now he knows he's not the moon body, right? That he's learned from Krishna Kai. He's still the moon, but he knows at least that he's not the moon body. So in one sense, he knows he's not the moon. He's spirit soul. Right? So even Mr. Moon is saved, although still a lunatic, right? So in this way, we have many examples of graces right here in our own daily life. And then it goes to a more subtle level where the crazies smile at us in the morning when we brush our teeth. And that we can actually see how mad we are. Right. How mad we are. Mad to think that we can enjoy in the material world. Mad to think that so many things matter in matter. Right. Nothing matters. Right? But so many priorities. And we are stubbornly attached, right, to our ideas. So this is foolishness. This is madness. Right? Madmen are so concerned with something, so emotionally involved about things that have absolutely no meaning, nothing, and they're all worked up about it, totally. So this is our predicament. We are all worked up about things that have no meaning at all. So Devahuti followed a transcendental process. Devahuti heard all about devotional service. Then Devahuti, after understanding thoroughly from Kapiladev what devotional service was, then began to practice that devotional service. And by practicing devotional service systematically, and by making it a priority over material priorities, she became advanced. So this is Krishna consciousness, that there is a period in one's Krishna consciousness where one has to face what is called a dichotomy or a contradiction within oneself, that there is one side in us that is totally concerned with the material energy, and yet there is the knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam which we have to apply to overcome this false ego in us that falsely makes so many things important. And this is the difficult part of Krishna consciousness. This is the part where all the doubts come in. And this is the part where we are dragging our feet. And this is the part where we say, well, I don't know. And this is what holds us back from making spiritual advancement, the need to give up our false ego. Because we're not ready. We're not ready to do it. False ego means that we are thinking that so many things are important for our happiness, which will not give us happiness. That is false ego. Right. And it is all related to the position of our body, to bodily designation. Therefore, the acharyas, the first thing they say is, sarva upadhi vinir muktam tat parat vena nirmalam. We must give up all desire for designation, all desire for recognition, all desire for position, all desire for any material consideration at all, and we should simply risikena risikesa sevanam bhakti uchate, dedicate ourselves to pleasing the senses of Krishna. So this is it takes practice. So there is unlimited devotional service. Somehow or other, the Hare Krishna movement can find unlimited engagement. Because according to our philosophy, everything should be spotlessly clean, which is almost impossible, especially in Hare Krishna temple, where there are so many people, right? Look at how many people there are in a tiny little building, and how many people go through this building in 1 week. And if you compare that to any similar space in this row of houses, and you see how many people go through there, it's a lot less. And they have a hard time keeping it clean. So here, it's impossible keeping it clean. Apparently. But nonetheless, it is required. And at least the endeavor has to be made. Because when the endeavor is being made, then we are putting Krishna's pleasure first. Because it is Krishna's home. And Krishna's home must be pure. Krishna's home must be externally clean, and it must be a place of purity. It must be a place where the culture of Srimad Bhagavatam is held in high esteem, and where it is discussed, and where it is practiced, and where all the principles that are given here are followed. So, such principles are including humility. Without humility, one will never give up false ego. Right? Humility means that one is ready to take a humble position. So yesterday we already discussed the principle of Vaishnav etiquette, and that amongst Vaishnavas, everyone must take his position according to seniority. Seniority in spiritual life is there for one who has spent more time in spiritual life. Such a person is senior. One who has rendered more service in spiritual life gains seniority. So seniority is gained by time in surrender to the process, and by service rendered in the process. And such seniority must be respected. So we must see whoever is senior to us and give him that respect. That is Vaishnav culture. And that is the culture of Srimad Bhagavatam. That is the culture that protects us from false pride, which drags us to the sensual platform, which drags us to the platform of designation, which drags us to upadhi, which drags us to the point of thinking, I am this, and I am that, and I need this, and I want that, and I shall this, and I shall that, and I shall not, and so forth, which is the material disease, right? And I desire, and I must have, right? This is the material disease. This is the platform of becoming materially attached, of becoming materially obsessed. I like the statement in the 11th canto where it says that the problem in material life is that the mind goes into the things and the things go into the mind. And this is the nature. The mind goes into the things and then the things go into the mind. We become obsessed. Our mind begins to circle around things. So we're seeing here that Devahuti is totally detached. She's ready to give up her nicely decorated home. What is a nicely decorated home, right? A nicely decorated home is not just a matter of a collection of nice things. It is a reflection of your personality, right? It's you, right? It's you. It's just you out there, you know. You have like just assembled things that have meaning to you. And through the beauty of these things, right, you express, right, yourself. And not only are you expressing yourself, you are reciprocating with that which is beautiful and sacred and valuable to you in your environment, and it uplifts you. So not only is it you, it's an intricate part of your personality, your home, your nicely decorated home. And Devahuti, no interest, no interest. Not, it had become small, it had become insignificant, because once one takes inspiration from serving Krishna, then there's no more need for other forms of inspiration. There's no more need to rely on all these things, our image, our nicely decorated home, all these support things that we have, right? Like I got new glasses and someone came to my room and they brought a suitcase full of glasses, you know, and it was just impossible, right, to choose glasses. I mean, it's just, what a process, right? It's like, you know, so in the end, I just told them, well, you decide, you know, you decide what I should have. You probably know more about glasses than I do, right, since you sell them, and I don't know anything about it. Whatever you say, you know, I'll accept, right? So they had a bit of an argument. And then someone the next day came and said, when I had the glasses, I said, but that's not you. That's not you. I don't know what's me, but I know one thing. I'm not my glasses, right? That I know, you know. If you actually thought that this was me, then you're in illusion, because I'm not my glasses, right? So what a relief. I'm not my glasses. I'm not my home, right? I'm not my suitcase. I'm not the color of my dhoti, and I'm not the brand of my watch, and I'm not any of those things. What a relief. Boy, I'm free. Because I am simply a servant. Servant of Krishna. That's all I am. Nothing else. And servant of the servants of Krishna. And if I can be that, and just remember that, being a servant, very humble servant. My service is being the doormat, right? That's actually, they give me a danda and they give me a whole attribute, but actually what my position is doormat for people to be stepped upon, for people to dump their things on, and it's my service to be that and to try and encourage people in Krishna consciousness. That's my service. Not just doing things, but trying to be the servant of the Vaishnavas. But who is ready? That is our problem. We have a movement full of small-time people, right? And sometimes it makes you sick. There are days that you just say, right? Sick of it. Bring the vomit bag, right? Why do we have to be on board with all these small-timers, right? Why can we not have great and generous personalities who step forward and who become servants, who become so humble, who take Jayananda as their model, who take Tribhuvanath as their model, who take some glorious devotees from the past who are now no longer here, but who were different, right? Tribhuvanath was the first devotee who went to the Middle East to preach, to distribute books, right? In the Middle East, my friend, is heavy duty, right? You come there with these books from India. They're waiting for you. Yes, they have knives for you that have been sharpened long ago, my friend, even before you were born, right? And these knives cut your throat, and they are ready for you. And you go distribute books there. And he went, right? Transcendental, Krishna will protect somehow or other. But he never returned like the great hero, the man who had conquered, the man who had done it. No, he would come and he would, in the Bhaktivedanta manner, and sleep in the corridor somewhere, or in the prasadam room at night. Or he'd come to the Amsterdam Ratiyatra and he didn't get a room in a hotel or somewhere, what he should have gotten, right, being exalted as he was. No, they just let him sleep in the car and he didn't complain, right? And then he did the big kirtan, which was still on the poster years later because Madhu Gopal was also on there and made sure that it made big time, right? And so, Sarva Upadhi Vinir Muktam, not interested in designation, right? One day in charge of this place, next day in Africa, preaching, right? This is the spirit to be a servant, right? But where do we find? These are the shining lights, right? The shining lights in this movement. It's not like so many, right? Unfortunately. We need more. So real seniority cannot be just based on years, cannot just be based on being around. Real seniority must come from being a shining light. That's it. We need shining lights in this movement. Right? So who are ready to go a step further than the ordinary, to deliver this transcendental knowledge to everyone. We need heroes. Not heroes who live on the glory of the past, but heroes who are heroes until the very end, like Srila Prabhupada, who never give up. Such heroes we need. So where are they? Well, that question we must ask. Not in a critical spirit, but in a spirit of, let's take this movement to another dimension. Right? Let's take this movement beyond the dimension where it consists of a majority of struggling people who are just, they know the philosophy, but they also think it's difficult, and they also think like, well, you know, can I really do this? Let's take this movement beyond to another level, to the level where it is full of devotees who are taking risks, who are giving up all their material securities, just like Devahuti, and who simply go forward to serve Krishna and to glorify Krishna everywhere. Then miracles will start happening. Then people will come forward. Here in Amsterdam, boy, what a history do we have. Big temple, small temple, and another big one, and another small one, and a very big one, 80 rooms, and a very small one with 4.5 rooms where we are now, right? And this is it, the headquarters of Hare Krishna Holland. Welcome. You are part of the lucky few that fit in between the four walls, right? Here we are. Okay, Everyone else we maintain on email. Fortunately, we have internet these days, so we're not lost. God, we're saved. Right. Lucky us. Right. Here we are. And we're struggling, oh yes, because we don't have a cent, because we have become too pure now. In the old days, we were not shy. We would go out, you know, and just shake doors and rattle them and sell people carpets, and we'd sell them any damn thing we could sell to make a buck. And it was rough, I admit, you know, but at least we had some money in the bank and we had some buildings, right? But those days are gone now. We're too pure these days. We don't do that anymore. Oh, no. We are brahmanas now. We read books. We know slokas. And yes, we wave incense and we do all these things. But meanwhile, we're living in a dump. Oh, well, such is life, you know. It's what can be done. This is the material world, you know. What can you do? The material energy is very difficult to deal with. So here we are living in this predicament. But if we are becoming courageous, and if we are becoming brave for Krishna consciousness, anything can happen. One big man can just donate a whole building. Just like that. You know, a 10-story building. Yeah. Huge building. Can be done. Right there in the heart of the city. No problem. Can just be donated. It wouldn't be the first time that such a thing has happened. And it will happen when Krishna is pleased with our sacrifice. And this is how Prabhupada started this movement. And this is how those who were close to Prabhupada came forward and pushed it on. And this is how it became great. And we are harvesting, reaping the results of all the great service of the past. And we are sitting here with our heritage. Jai. This is one point. So I am waiting. I'm waiting to see a change in our movement, a change where people are ready to just sacrifice everything for spreading Krishna consciousness, sacrifice their life until the day they die. That's what I'm waiting for. Meanwhile, I'll try to do something, not die yet. For the time being, we got to figure it out, how to survive and preach at the same time. It's not that I'm here bashing everyone over the head, and although some may think I am, but that's not what it is. I'm just saying from, maybe I'm just saying, I had a dream, right? You know, maybe that's all I'm saying. I know, I already woke up, you know, I already woke up. I know. It's a dream. So, we'll go back and deal with reality. And okay, we'll just go safely, steadily, not taking risks, but, you know, keeping it nice, etc. And, you know, nice. All in a spiritual movement. So, it's good. Every devotee is good. Everyone who's part of this movement is good. So don't feel bad. Feel good. You're part of a good thing. And we're all going in the right direction. Of course, there's in Germany the Autobahn, right? And you know that in the Autobahn there is no speed limit, right? But usually there are three lanes, right? So one is the middle lane where people drive anywhere between 150 and 190. And then you have the fast lane, right? On the left, and there, you know, anything goes from 190 to 290, I guess. I'm not sure, right, how fast it goes, but quite fast. And then there's the slow lane on the right, right? And there's a sign on the highway with where it says, turtles to the right. And you see all these turtles on the right. You know, you see a whole row of turtles on the right. So, Prabhupada's movement is a movement where we also have different lanes, also the three lanes. Some immediately wanted to go in the fast lane and crashed. Right? So that's not smart. Some went in the middle lane, right, and drove careful, survived. And some start off in the slow lane, and some, they stay in the slow lane. So if we want to be in the turtle lane, right, for in this movement, that's okay. Srila Prabhupada certainly provided for those who wanted to be in the turtle lane, right? He provided for the turtles, without a doubt. But don't think that he came to the West to make a movement of turtles. That was not his plan. Yeah. Yes. What can I say? I better stop before I get myself in more and more trouble. As I'm already getting. I've already rubbed against the grain. I've already stepped on toes. I've already agitated the minds of the innocent. What can I do? It's my duty. I must do it again and again. It's my job to spoil the fun. So, what can I do? Okay, so you can warm up your mind to questions now and comments. Okay, hands are coming up. Then we'll start. Get into that. Okay, even although it's temporary. Well, you know, remember what I said, it's a madhouse. It's a big madhouse. The whole planet is a mad planet, right? That's what it is. It's a madhouse. So, should we enjoy the insane asylum you want to come? It's so nice that people have made this nice mental hospital for us, you know, and now should we go there and enjoy it all? You come and enjoy the mental hospital. It's not for enjoyment, it's just to get cured. So we are in this world to get cured. That's what we're here for. The whole world has been designed by Krishna so that we can become cured. But we don't believe it. But it's true. And once you're cured from trying to enjoy the material energy, then you will serve Krishna. You'll be happy. But not that we walk around and say, ugh, what a horrible world. Oh boy, it's all misery. Oh, it's all just sadness and pain and suffering and all these horrible things. It's not that. It's beautiful, but it's the reflection of the real beauty in the spiritual world. Just the shadow of the real beauty. So it's a beautiful shadow. Can you imagine how beautiful the real thing is? Full color in the spiritual world. Let's go. What are we waiting for? Don't play with shadows. Right? Let's not waste our time to play with shadows. Yes, they're beautiful shadows. Let's go for the real thing. Spiritual world. Here I come. No time to waste. Chant Hare Krishna and devotional service all the way. Anybody else? Flash, flash. Parvitabhu.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Everyone borrowed that cave. Yeah. Okay. So it's Plato's cave. Plato's cave, basically, Socrates is the one, of course, the hero in Plato's books. Plato, but it's known as Plato's cave. And it's very famous. And everyone is using Plato's cave, but no one understands really what it means, Plato's cave. But we do. Because it actually is referring to people who are chained in a cave with their back to the opening and there's a fire behind them. And people are walking past and outside the cave and there's the reflection of their shadows on the wall and the chained people can only see the reflections. They hear voices with it. So they think that sometimes the shadows and the voices comes, right? Then one day one man manages to get free from the chains, and he sees that there are real people out there, and he goes back into the cave to tell them, that, it's not like that. They're not shadows. They're not just shadows and sounds. They're actually, there's a fire. It's a projection. The real thing is out there. There's the real life. They didn't want to know it. That's the point. They didn't want to know him. They didn't appreciate it, that he had a different point of view. Right. And was not appreciating the pleasure of the shadows and the shadow world. So this is basically Plato's cave, and it's referring to the shadow enjoyment of the material world. The real thing is the spiritual sky. That's what it's all about. Parvati. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that organized religion is death of the true religious spirit. As soon as you get an institution and you get chairs, right? In India they call it a kursi, a chair. Everyone is looking for a kursi. Everyone wants a chair, right? Oh yes, the chairman, right? Everyone wants to be chairman or a chairwoman and have a chair and have a niche. So organized religion offers that. So one goes for what is called Taranga Ranjini, for the byproducts, enjoying the byproducts of spiritual life instead of the real thing, which is to sweat in sacrifice, to break one's back in sacrifice, to somehow or other extend oneself to a point where one is ready to do something very difficult, to give Krishna consciousness to others. And yet, not too far, so that we fall over the edge. Right? But this is what Prabhupada showed. And this is what Prabhupada asked. Right? Such kind of sacrifice. But a society offers comfort. Right? Offers buildings, rooms, my room, name plaque on the door. Right? Society offers so much facility. Therefore, renunciation is recommended. Therefore, sannyasis must live from a suitcase, right? Don't stay in one place. Don't stay in one room. My room is a very, very nice room with pictures of Krishna on the walls and so many nice Krishna consciousness. But where's my sacrifice? What am I doing, right, to deliver those who are rotting and who are not convinced, that Krishna consciousness is it? We are convinced, great, but the whole world's not convinced. And what are we doing to convince them? So organized religion is the death of that spirit. So we find a famous book in Holland, called The Lof der Zotheid, right, written by Erasmus, right? And this book, written 500 years ago, describes the Christian monks who is like having a perfect belt with a beautiful copper hasp on it, nicely polished, and the same hasp in smaller size on his sandals, right, all coming, the whole universe. And underneath is his big fat belly filled with fish and meat, etc. It's a good life. You don't have to work so hard. And you get respect and honor and facility. It's great. And then comes some preacher and he spoils all the fun. Crucify the guy. Hang him off the highest tree. Oh, well. Yeah, they should do all these things. Sometimes should flatter the audience a little bit. to entice them to take up Krishna consciousness. Sometimes should cut. Sometimes should entertain and tell very inspiring stories, should use everything he can possibly use, but he cannot be a softie. The good old saying, soft doctors make stinking wounds, is an old proverb. What can we do? It's a fact. Yeah, the truth is the truth. And it's sadhu, one definition of sadhu, or a person who speaks the truth, means cutting. Cutting. So that's there. I don't know. Yeah. I hope no one. I don't think anyone can take offense. Nah. Yes. I think that in the presence of Srila Prabhupada, there was no question of getting too comfortable, because he would say it. He would tell his big leaders, "Get out of your office." Right? He would say that. Don't sit in an office all day. Right? And just tell them, "Don't spend your days in offices. Just get out of these offices and go and preach." And he was very pleased with that. When Tamal Krishna Maharaj was in America, as a sannyasi, Prabhupada said, "You should go back to India and you should be the GBC. We need you there." And he said, then Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, "No, I cannot go. I cannot go because I'm preaching." Prabhupada said, "No, it's important." And then Tamal Krishna Maharaj asked Prabhupada if he was allowed to show, right? to show him that it was more important that he was preaching. And then he brought in all these devotees that they had made from the Radha Damodar party, from the preaching. And they all came in and they all offered obeisances to Prabhupada and they were all shaved up, etc. And then Prabhupada said, yes, your preaching is more important. You can stay and preach. Right? I mean, it meant that in India there was huge, huge administrative problems with huge, huge projects, which needed to be dealt with, and who was going to do. And Prabhupada had to himself do, partially. But when he saw the result of all this preaching, he said, "No, this is preaching. This is more important." So this is more important. More important than anything is preaching, is making devotees. And why are we in these cities? For only one reason. To go to people and to give them Krishna consciousness. No other reason. Not to live. We are not meant to live in the cities. Right? Okay, when you're married, that's different. But temple devotees are not meant to live in the cities. We are meant to be here to knock on people's doors who are not convinced that life is not a great party. Yeah. But you have already had one, she didn't have one. So you have to wait. Yeah.
I just wanted to make a short comment. Oh.
Yeah, don't preach more than you know. One should not preach more than he knows, and we should just accept that we don't know very much. So then it's easy. Then you just preach Chan Hare Krishna and take Krishna Prasadam, offer your food, and do you really think you're going to be happy by all this intoxication, or do you think that you're destroying your brain and everything and your life altogether? Do you think? And do you think that this illicit sex, right, that's rampant all over the place, do you think that that's going to make you happy? Do you really think so? Right? Do you think the guy cares about you? Today he does, but not tomorrow. And you'll have the babies. Good luck. And you'll be alone, mother with the little kiddies. And it's a trip. Not easy. Right? Yes. Or you can have an abortion. Right? That's also possible. But that leaves you with a dirty taste for a while. That's all possible. Of course, you can manage things well if you know how to deal with things, you know, like, if you know the ways of the world. But even then, you get caught sometimes, right? So, what to do? So let's talk about that. Let's talk about what we know. Who knows about Krishna and the gopis? We don't know nothing. We read a few things and we think we know. We don't know, but we know everything about Amsterdam. That we know. We know very well what this life is. That we know. We know why the party is not such a good party, after all. That we know. Yeah, we know. We've been to those parties. And we sat there, you know, wondering, what am I doing on this party? Why did I go to this party? You never thought that? Why did I go to this party? I did. You see what I mean? So stay on the ground. Let's stay on the ground. Yeah. So it's easy, you know. But it does take some. You have to preach in the right way. True. Go wrong and no question. Nah, okay. It's all the ladies now. I need some male input also, just to balance things out. Kapila Dev became the sun. Okay, yesterday I was saying that Krishna is the supreme controller, the supreme Lord, but that he allows his devotee to control him. That's what you're referring to. The Supreme Lord and the servant. Yeah, but that's just the brilliancy of Krishna. So brilliant that he just is the Supreme Lord, and yet he can also arrange it that he can become the servant of his devotees. And that's the beauty. Otherwise, if he would just be the all-pervading Supreme Lord, all-powerful, you know, then after a little while we get to church again and we all fall asleep, you know. The all-pervading, all-powerful, supreme Lord, controller. Oh, you surrender, otherwise you get a thunderbolt on your head. And he's somewhere there, and we are here. But when Krishna becomes, when the Supreme Lord is in his human form and is equal to his devotees, then he becomes exciting. Then he's one of us, and yet he's not one of us. Exciting, my friend. So that excitement kept Devahuti going. And that's how she could give it all up, all her attachments. See? Therefore, the best way is to come down and to not dwell too much on abstract philosophy, but to come down to the practical level and to give mercy to people who are in Maya and who are suffering. That will give us so much more juice and so much more strength. And that's the example of Prabhupada and of the devotees like Jayananda and Tribhuvanath and other such great devotees that this movement has produced. Okay, Laura, last question. That's for sannyasis, I said. Not for everyone. The advantage. There are different ways to preach. You can use facility for preaching. If we would have a Rijksmuseum here in Amsterdam, and it was owned by Hare Krishna, I would have some far out ideas, you know. I could really do something with that building and something, you know. Throw out a few paintings, you know, like some garbage paintings, right? Yeah, throw out some junk and put some real paintings there. But we could do an amazing thing there together with Paravita, couldn't we, with the Rijksmuseum, right? We would know what to do with it, no problem, right? And Madame Tussauds, we take that also, Palace on the Dam, and the Bijenkorf, if we make it a gift shop, you know. I have absolutely no problem. I have plenty of ideas of what I can do here in Amsterdam, you know. I have no problem. I can use it all, right? But it's good if for oneself one is living very simple and very free. Because the mind goes into things, and the thing goes in the mind. Things in the mind, and things. I've got things on my mind. And then you are totally, preoccupied, right? What's with you? I've got things on my mind. That's the problem. When you got things in your mind, that's a problem. Yeah. You see? Yeah, perfect. Oh.
Of those who come to the movement or those who are in the movement, we not all have our destination. We know the destination is supposed to be the initiation, but we want to maybe have a nice life.
A heavenly planet? What? Definitely, it's miserable in the heavenly planets. Gosh, you're gonna die there. How do you want? Why do you want to go to a place where you're gonna die? And when the party is over, turn off the light. Right. Yeah. Sure. No. Okay. Okay. All right then. Okay then. Okay. You want a little balance then. Yes, of course. There's nothing wrong in having a nice situation and from there and make it all Krishna conscious and use it all. So Krishnize everything. Make your nice decorated home fully Krishnized. Only Krishna decorations. And in this way you will get strength from it and you will at the same time remain aloof. In the midst of it all, right? Because although you are attached to your nice house, because everything nice in your house is Krishna conscious, ultimately you will become more attached to Krishna than to your house. And at the end of the day, you too will be only interested in Krishna. So that's also possible. But you have to Krishnize the house. Otherwise, it's going to be a little difficult. Abnadaya. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.